At LV, our car insurance comes from the heart. That's why we've just launched our new multi-car cover. One policy and one renewal date means it's one simple way for you to save on your family's cars. So just imagine how much you can save by insuring two, three, or even more cars with us. To get your exclusive multi-car discount from the Which? Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. T's and C's apply.
You're now listening to Gamertag Radio's E3 2015 coverage. This is Gamertag Radio, a Gamertag Radio exclusive. Let's get this started.
Welcome to episode 485. This is your host, Godfrey, and also we have the whole crew, and we're live at E3 2015. So let's start with Pawson J. Pawson, what's up, man?
Yo, I'm feeling amazing right now. Going off an hour of sleep. Feel like a million bucks. Saw some pretty crazy stuff earlier this night.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it a bit, but it's been a heck of a first day of E3, and it's just the start of something really, really awesome.
And also we have Pete Rock. Pete.
Yo.
What up?
I'm hype. This is like beyond hype. Like, we're all sitting here. We're in the studio.
Official.
What up, Perry?
No
still
more
full?
Skype, son.
Are like, you still full from Roscoe's?
Continue with your intro, please. I don't have anything.
Yes, please. Yes.
Shut down.
Yeah, man. And also we have a special guest, Mandy, old school. Used to be part of GTR. What's up, man?
What's up? It's so exciting to be back and see everybody.
All right. And also Q.
What's up, everybody? It's Q from GameCrate.com. Welcome to Los Angeles, everybody.
All right. And of course, we saved the best
we
for last.
Accidentally
Paris.
Intro'd.
What's up, Paris?
Now, I got a couple bones to pick.
Oh, so, already?
So I helped
it's
that.
It's
been a good day. It's been a good day. Now with you, Amanda.
What?
Oh, wow.
It's government been a good day. Mm,
okay.
You know, a war tank top, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went to Roscoe's, and we've been talking about going to Roscoe's for months,
yeah,
right?
It's been never-ending in the chat.
Amanda, this is my intro.
Never.
But we've been talking about going to Roscoe's for months. Mm-hmm. We got the hashtag E3 2015, the whole thing. Me and Pete, we've just been talking all this trash for months.
Yeah.
We finally go. Matter of fact, Agent M from Marvel was with us. How cool was that,
yeah,
right?
That was,
sat
that
right
cool.
across from me, and I told him I didn't like Age of Ultron. It was great.
Troll.
Classic.
Me and Pete went and got the number 3. There's a half a chicken, 2 waffles, and we got a side, right? So I'm like, we finna get down. I think I licked my plate. I ate it so clean, right?
Yeah.
I look over at Pete, half the thing's still there.
Come on. I finished all my chicken. I left a quarter waffle. You talking trash over there.
Oh, no.
That's not true.
That's true. It's very true.
Okay, let's talk video games.
All right, let's talk about video games. So, okay, this is our first time recording together in the studio. I mean, I've been studios in the past and stuff, you know, with the whole music scene. But this is like our first time as a crew. We're here now live on CBS Radio. Shout out to them and shout out to also Play.it. Recording together for the first time. This is dope.
Yeah, really, usually
really dope.
We have the homemade studio inside the hotel room.
Yes, that was pretty ghetto. But hey, yeah,
it
worked out, right?
Do.
10 years now doing this, to, you know. So we went to a couple bars today, celebrate our 10th anniversary, right? That was fun.
Why are you looking at me? Why do I have to confirm
just
it?
You, Paris.
Just you,
Paris.
Just you.
It was
a nice
not
environment.
Nah, but the thing is, this E3 is going to be, I think, special. You know, today Bethesda had a huge press conference. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. And also Nintendo had their Nintendo World Championship,
mm-hmm.
right? That was pretty big, too. And I was reading on Twitter, great, great feedback about that, too. So I think it was a lot better than even last year's event that they had at the Nokia Theater. Well, actually, it's called Microsoft Theater now,
Microsoft.
Right?
Yeah, that's
Microsoft
right.
Money at that some problem. Money at it.
Yeah, yeah.
So does anybody feel that that's a little weird that that Nintendo is paying Microsoft to do their own little press conference and their little championship
stuff? I think it was planned ahead. I mean, they play, part
you know,
of
Microsoft, I mean, Microsoft basically just bought the naming rights to that building. That was the Nokia Theater,
yeah.
LA Live. It's been for years. That's where Nintendo's always done their stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I mean, that's totally normal. I've seen a lot of theaters and stadiums and things get, you know, renamed and rebranded by whoever's put their name on it for that time. So it was kind of weird because we're all like, oh, Nintendo at the Microsoft Theater.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, at Score Big, you save on every ticket every day. And that's where you should go first to check on tickets, even events and seats you think you couldn't afford. So right now, we've got the NBA Finals. Imagine if you could get tickets to go see the Golden State Warriors or the Cleveland Cavaliers possibly win the NBA Finals. How it works, just find a game or show you want to go to, pick your seating area, name a ticket price, and get an instant answer. Score Big was created to make fun of live entertainment more accessible for everyone. So save on tickets days, weeks, even months in advance, and it's not a last-minute ticketing site, so you can do it in advance. You don't have to wait. So next time you want tickets, think big, save big, score big at scorebig.com.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
We definitely got to talk about this Bethesda press conference, because that was like the beginning of everything. And tomorrow, I mean, for those that are listening now, you know, by the time you listen to this, they're going to have, you know, the Microsoft press conference, Sony, EA, Ubisoft and everything. But let's start with Bethesda. Wow, what a press conference. I mean, in a way, it was cool with the setup and everything, but I think the leak kind of killed it with Dishonor. That kind of killed it the surprise a little bit, but still was dope, the whole press conference overall.
I don't think it stole any thunder. I mean, no? I think we all kind of suspected Dishonored did well enough to get a sequel, but I wasn't ready for the way that trailer was presented, you know, with the new a female protagonist in addition to playing as the original protagonist. I was pretty impressed by what they showed off gameplay-wise. The art style looks fantastic with that new engine, because they had a really great artistic style going with the first game, but it felt like it was a little bit held back by the current gen hardware. And now that they can just jump right into next gen, I mean, it was gorgeous. I mean, I love the style, the design. I mean,
you played the first one, right?
Yeah, I was a big fan of it. I mean, I gotta be honest, like, I did probably kill every single person in that game, so I probably didn't play it the way you were supposed to play it, but it was still really fun. And it's open ended and allows you to do play how you want, you know. It's fun. Games should be designed like, they shouldn't punish you for playing
it. No, for sure.
And
that's the thing, is I think that their whole thing was they wanted people to be playing it however they chose to. You know, if you wanted to be the dangerous person that just took out everybody, I tried to be sneaky and usually failed. I'm pretty sure I fell off a few buildings and got caught in all of that. On one side, it was really exciting to see, and I'm so happy to see Dishonored 2 because I really liked the first game. But at the same time, it did lose a little bit of its momentum to know, like, the day before we even got there, that it was going to happen. And I mean, okay, seriously, guys, how is the only thing that did not get leaked for the Bethesda press conference the mobile standalone for Fallout?
That is true.
Really?
That is
really?
True.
The
that was the only thing. And also the, wasn't the expansion pack for Elder Scrolls that?
They're teasing future content. Yeah, yeah, they're working on.
Yeah. But, I mean, let's talk about Doom. I mean, you guys were, I thought about you right away as soon as I got to see this trailer.
I'm a pretty big Doom guy, I gotta admit.
Yeah? I'm a little bit worried, though. It got a little bit repetitive, like, it was the same thing over and over.
But it's Doom. It's the same thing. There's no difference to that.
The 90s. Will that work in 2015? That was my big question. Corridor shooters in 2015. Can they stay fresh enough? And again, I can agree with you guys. You know, you have the shotgun. You have the cool little melee kills you can do when enemies are stunned. But you start seeing the animations over and over and over again. You're like, okay, how long is this game? You know, is the multiplayer up to par with, you know, previous Dooms? Like, Doom 2 is one of my favorite multiplayer games ever. What can they pull off? You know, how will this Doom map maker system work? What was the buzzword
the
you used for
snap
it?
Map?
Snap map. There they were. Yeah. You know, it's got a cool term for it. I'm curious. I the Doom modding community has been great on Doom 3 for years. I have no doubt that Doom 4 will continue that. I'm just more worried about the console side of things, because I played a lot of games that have had map makers on consoles, and other than maybe like Time Splitters or, you know, Forge and Halo, they really just don't accomplish what they set out to do. They feel very limited, and the player feels like they're overwhelmed, having to learn how to make the things first before they make
the things. I think that was one of the things that they highlighted during the show, was that every platform, now it's not going to have cross-platform modding, but every platform will have its own modding community. So you're going to have people who may have already worked on the PC side and maybe tailoring down and going to a console to do the modding. And
do you really think they would do that? Do you think they would gimp themselves with their set of tools to make on a console when they have all of that power available on the PC?
You never know. I mean, there's people who've been doing this on Forge for years, and it's just something else for a gamer to do.
Mm-hmm. And so, Little Big Planet, to be fair.
Yeah. And a lot of console games have gotten, you know, player created content totally right, and they knock it out of the park. I'm just worried when I see Doom, I'm just seeing things that throw me back to, you know, like, you know, the first Far Cry they put on, you know, 360 ages ago, and, you know, the map maker, which was really fun, but it was more, it's like Roller Coaster Tycoon. You have more fun making it. You don't really want to play your bizarre creation afterwards. I'm just concerned. The game looks fun. Obviously, yeah. It runs well.
But am I the only one feeling that is competitive?
Pierce is over here shaking his head, so I kind of want to know what
he
has to
say.
Yeah,
why is it you're shaking your head, sir?
Well, first of all, I do this, y'all just don't see me. I shake my head all the time.
Yeah, we can see you do it now, so like the whole time we're talking.
Well, no, I'm just letting you guys finish your thoughts or whatever, but I mean, I completely agree with what Paulson is saying and what your concerns are mine. They're very valid. I kept seeing the same death animations over and over. It's still a corridor shooter at its core. They've not evolved Doom past what it was back in the 90s. I feel that this is a graphical update. It looks great. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong
really
at all.
Beautiful.
But I don't see this being a game that I would spend $60 for. I think being able to let the community create modes and create maps and do those type of things is kind of the band-aid to try and justify the price point that they're going to throw at you. You're going to go, hey, look, you can make whatever you want, but you could also do that in Halo 3. You know, you could do that in Halo 4. It's just Forge mode on steroids is what it really is. And that's great. I mean, I want that kind of flexibility and those kind of options on the PC and in the console community. Mm-hmm. But like I was telling Poston when we were walking back from the event, I just don't think the community is going to be big enough to truly support this.
And really? You see it like that?
I think on the PC side, maybe. But on the console side, do you really think there's going to be a big console community creating maps?
I don't think the map creation portion of it is something that may propel this game to the forefront. I really think that the multiplayer has a really good opportunity in the esports.
Yeah, I agree.
I shouldn't say I disagree with you. You may very well be right, but I think the problem that this game's going to run into, Team Fortress 2, Counter-Strike, and don't forget that new Unreal tournament's coming out, and it is basically being created by the community, and it's going to be it's free, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I believe the new Unreal tournament's going to be
true,
free.
Yeah. That is true.
That's
right.
Going to be like, why spend $60 on Doom when I can just go play Unreal Tournament or Team Fortress 2
for
free?
Isn't it excited that they're creating a new Doom? It's been a while.
That's the one thing I want to get clear.
Nostalgia?
Yeah, I want to be clear. Yeah, like the nostalgia of what you're saying, I was pleasantly surprised by what I saw, but then I just realistically started thinking about my gaming preference and my gaming life here in probably the next 18 months. That's not going to be a game that I'm going to run out to go get.
It's getting crazy. I mean,
these
Fallout,
release schedules going to be...
This year alone... Oh my God! Look,
Paulson and I were talking about that. The whole walk back. We're just it's insane.
You're timing all the skills up to the point.
We don't even know. There's more coming.
This was the first day. This is one company.
We don't even know it's coming. And we were kind of discussing too is that a lot of these games they aren't the traditional, you know, 8 to 10 to 12 hour games. I mean, you look at what they showed for Fallout 4, and that's going to be well over 200 hours of gameplay.
Yeah, and that's what got me concerned about Doom is like, how long can they keep a single player experience going before it's like, okay, when is this going to end? Because even in Doom 3, which was a fun game, I had that moment. It's like, all right, I've been in hell a while. Where's the cyber demon? I want to get this over with. And just, it was more fun to play it in co-op.
My thing is the premise of Doom, what it is, I think they should have taken that and made a new game, get away from the corridor. Not necessarily some open world game. It doesn't need to be The Witcher or anything like that. But put it in new locations. Do different things. Where's a co-op mode? Yeah. You know, just things like that.
Well, that's one of the things that they talked about with the Forge-ish, whatever, the map creation, the snap map. It allows you to create that co-op experience.
But it's survival, though, and it's horde mode, and it's firefighting. I'm just seeing a lot of things that I've seen before just treading old ground. I'd be content with just simple, you know, split screen Halo style co-op, because that's how I played Doom 3 and I had way more fun than playing it by myself.
Actually, let me clarify. I'm sorry, Q. You got to get used to this. We just jumped in.
If you don't, Danny will just cut you off and go in a whole other direction.
Yeah, yeah. But no, to clarify what I was saying with the co-op, I guess what I'm really saying is I want to see more Destiny/Division type of co-op experiences where I'm going on these strike missions, or even could you imagine a raid type scenario in the Doom universe? It'd be fantastic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's
something
true.
Like that. I think they could have taken the game in that direction, and I think people would be a lot more excited about it. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people at home right now are like, oh my God, I got to go play Doom. But again, yeah. I just don't see it being a game that's going to grab my attention.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm like with Danny, I was noticing the same kind of animations, the same way, you know, twisting neck and, you know, pulling his head off or whatever. But for me, at the place I'm at now for gaming, I want a good story. And
you're not gonna get that.
Yeah, they didn't show any of that, and I was like, hopefully they evolve, because they got it with, you know, their Elder Scrolls games, they got it with Fallout, they got great stories. So I was like, maybe they'll do it with the Doom this time, but I didn't see that. So I'm kind of with you guys. I'm not really too much enticed. I'm not trying to shoot, and then that's it. I want something, you know.
But besides that part, the whole repetitive part, I think the music, the environment, I think it was really, really cool.
Oh, yeah, the sound effects, the atmosphere was just spot on.
Well, yeah.
Well crafted.
Yes.
It looks good. It sounds mm-hmm. good. The experience of it, I think, to kind of touch on what everybody's saying, is that ultimately it looks like they're kind of updating and recreating the same experience that was.
It's a reimagining of the original
idea. The original Doom.
And which was Doom 3 was the original game, too. So
The one problem you run into is it was, as they said, the foundation for a lot of other games. And now those games have come out and they've innovated on it and they've made it something more. Mm-hmm. And so going back, it's kind of like, you know, trying to go back to Mass Effect 1 after playing Mass Effect 3. Mm-hmm. You see what was the bare bones beginning and what it could then, from what it had already become. And while that's not bad per se, because that was the basis that created so much in the FPS genre, mm-hmm. at the same time, do you go back to the bare bones of what you originally had, or do you look at these other fleshed out experiences, especially, as we all said, in comparison to what else is going to be surrounding it as a release time frame?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like they could do something unique because it is Doom and we haven't seen it in years, and they could probably come up with some pretty crazy ideas of different levels of hell, or, you know, maybe you leave Mars and, you know, Doom 2 was set on Earth. You could have the hell on Earth scenarios. A lot of things they could do with it. I really would not want them to look at other games and pull inspiration, because then it's just going to be like a hodgepodge of just like, oh, here's this element, here's this element, here's element.
Not like pull, but you've seen how other people have taken that original idea mm-hmm. and evolved it.
Yes.
So in theory, they should be able to look at it and involve it as well.
Yeah, you can't ask for a better example than Wolfenstein New Order, you know, because Wolfenstein predated Doom, same concept. Doom took that idea, ran with it, made it wildly successful. Wolfenstein comes out, you know, last year and stuns everybody with New Order. And then Old Blood came out this year, which is a really fun little piece of DLC. They evolved from themselves. I mean, they made an old style gameplay system relevant for today's market. In which was crazy because it was basically a World War II game. And we all would assume that it wouldn't even sell anymore. And they made it work because they made it their own. That's what Doom needs to do.
Yeah,
Doom needs to sit down, go back to the drawing board, and think of how can we reimagine him? How can we surprise people? Because everyone that's played Doom in this room, you see that trailer, we've all done that. Other than the execution part was like, oh, wow, that's cool. But yeah, it's the same ground, the same weapons. Right. I knew they'd have the BFG in the end. Of course, they got to do that fan service. It's just hitting all the marks. But like, where is the part where you're like, oh wow, I didn't know Doom could do such and such. Like, I have, you know, that looks fascinating. Let me go try that. I look at that, I'm like, I know exactly how I'd play that. It'd be fun. I play it for an hour or two, and then I go play.
You know,
else.
Right now, I was reading, you know, Twitter while watching the live stream. At the moment, everybody's excited mm-hmm. about the game. But once all these press conferences show their games during the week of E3, I think it's going to change a lot of people's minds if they're going to get the game or not. I mean, at the moment, yeah, they're excited.
I think it's just going to fall down the list of anticipation. Because right now, it's the first thing that everybody's seeing out of E3, so everybody's got that really high expectation. Ooh, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. And then as the other announcements come out from Microsoft and EA and Ubisoft and Sony and everybody else, where will the Dooms, the Dishonoreds?
Yeah. Yo, I'm telling you this, Doom is going to go down.
Oh, it's going to fall down.
Doom will be forgotten 20 minutes into the Microsoft press conference. I'm being dead serious. I'm not even being funny.
He might be right.
No, I wouldn't be surprised. Right. I wouldn't be surprised. But I tell you one thing that's not going to be forgotten.
What?
Fallout 4.
But
I think before we get to that, though, I mean, Battlecry, is anyone here interested in that?
We got to see that last year.
Did anyone else play it last year besides me?
No, no. I think
okay, I'm the only one.
I like the way that it looks. I like the art style. I like the characters
fun,
they have, but
I see it, and it reminds me of Team Fortress 2 with a Borderlands skin.
I understand that. Like, I personally don't like TF2. It's just not for me. But I liked Battlecry because it was that same idea, but it was adapted to more unique playstyles besides just shoot people in the face. There were other roles you could play. It could be a team-based game. You could have some things you were good at, some things you were bad at. I like the class design. The combat, again, it's still kind of run to each other, whack each other until the first one explodes in blood. That just kind of comes with the territory. But it looks nice. I like the style. I like the presentation. You know, I think there's room for that to succeed in the market out there.
It's like a 5-on-5 Dynasty Warriors.
But you know what? It depends when they release the game. Because if it comes out during the time there's going to be so many games, people are going to forget it.
Oh, that's going to be a summer sale type situation, like right in the middle, like when there's no games being launched.
And when you can buy a pack of four, gift some to your friends.
That would be ideal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what other games you got to check out? I mean, you guys were at the press conference. How was the vibe in there?
Bethesda did a great job. I mean, it was very organized to get everyone in there. All the seating was assigned.
Cool.
I mean, just on a side note, they had soda and water and popcorn for everyone. I mean, you know, they treated it like it was a big deal. I mean, Uncle Pete's a rock star. You know, he came out. Everyone loves Uncle Pete, you know, Pete Hines. So.
A lot of fans besides the media.
I'm not exactly sure how they did it, but they had a standby line where, you know, the media, we had our invite, so we just got to go and check in, and we got our tickets. They had a standby line for people that didn't pick up their registrations, and then they had a sign that said 350 people, they would take them to, like, an overflow site, like a satellite site, to watch it, so I don't know how that worked out in the end. But, I mean, it was great. I mean, everyone seemed to be having a good time. I mean, if you were watching on Twitch, I don't know how the crowd came off, but the crowd was going bananas.
Oh, yeah. Every announcement, they were just insane. It was infectious.
But, see, I think this E3, I think that's the focus, bringing the fans to, like, the press conference, the expo. I mean, we're going to see that throughout the whole week.
Oh, well, we're going to see it tomorrow at the Microsoft.
Yeah, that's 500 people. They're not media. They're not bloggers.
You're going to see that from Microsoft. You're going to see that from Nintendo.
Emeralds.
But why not Sony?
Sony has done
that
in the past.
That every year, actually.
Yeah. Sony, the PlayStation experience, right?
What Sony does is, people who are local in LA, you can go basically stand out in the standby line to get into the PlayStation press conference. So once all the press and everyone gets in, they then just open the gates and they go, all right, everyone else can come
in. But they're not having, like, its own event for the fans. Microsoft's doing the fan fest.
But they've done that in the past many times.
Nintendo's doing, you know, they had the Nintendo championships.
Sony is. Wednesday.
What are they doing?
Wednesday night. I remember we saw out in front of the convention center those tents.
Oh, like the MLB.
That's going to be open to all the fans.
Oh, I see.
So they don't have to go inside the actual.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay. Well,
so,
then everybody.
So
here.
Pete.
So yeah, but that's
Gabe?
Close
Pete,
enough. That's cool. But I'm saying in the past, this is when Jeff Rubenstein used to be part of Sony. They used to have, like, a little meetup at a location.
I remember that.
And he had a certain amount of badges. And whoever shows up first, they get copies of that, and it'll go and attend E3 for that week. I mean, they've done it in the past, so you can't really diss them, you know.
No, I'm not knocking them. I just wasn't aware that they had their own individual fan event. So.
Yeah, okay.
Well, well, they Peter, are. Why don't you do your research?
Do your research.
Well, I'm not sure if they're, highlighting it as much is the thing.
That is true.
You have to remember, though, that, like, kind of Microsoft has, for the past couple of years, really been playing catch-up. Mm-hmm. And so every time that they do something, they really want to bring light to it. They want everybody, like, look at what we're doing for our community and for the gamers. Like, they've really turned themselves around, but it doesn't do them any damage to highlight that stuff. Whereas Sony just kind of does whatever they want to do, and whether they highlight it or not, kind of.
All right, so this one we're going to take a short break, and once we come back, we definitely got to talk about Fallout 4.
Oh,
like, there is so many things in that. And Pete, your prediction was kind of right, kind of wrong.
Well, it was a 50-50. I had one correct one. The other one was off by two.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that. That was during the last episode. And we'll be right back after this.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
DraftKings.com, everybody. Baseball is in full swing, and you can be a part of the action all season long at DraftKings.com, which is the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash and instant gratification. Why would you wait to the end of the season to get paid when you can win huge prizes every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just pick two pitchers, pick eight position players, and pick your cash. That's it. Ask Pete. Pete, DraftKings.
Love it.
You love it. Why do you love it?
It's easy. Most of the time, you got to wait to the end of the season, and you don't have to deal with any of that. You don't have to deal with, you know, a 2-hour draft or any of that. No, it's pick it that day. You win money.
So if you're listening to this, use our promo code GAMERTAG, and you can go to DraftKings.com today and be a part of the $10,000 fantasy baseball contest. That is DraftKings.com. It is the official partner of Major League Baseball. Enter that code GAMERTAG for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio 485, live at E3 2015. This is our first time here recording in the studio. Kind of awkward seeing you guys here in person.
We can, like, turn and look at each other.
Yeah, right.
Stuff.
The pair's giving me the side eyes.
Yeah, side eyes and all that stuff.
We can see each other making faces if somebody says something. Yeah. Like, I don't agree.
Like I say, I do this every week.
So we just don't see you.
We just can't see it.
All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com. Also, play that it. Listen to our past episode and share it to your friends, all that good stuff. And give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Make sure to hit us up during the week of E3. Send us questions, feedback. Let us know how we're doing. We're going to be releasing a lot of content, but I have two announcements, but go.
And don't forget, if you want to follow along on our live blog all week, go to cbsla.com/E3 2015.
Yes, definitely. Share that with others. Definitely, definitely. All right, so, two announcements. I have two announcements. So, this is a big one. I've been working on this now for, I believe, 2 months or so, almost three. iTunes have us on the front page of the podcast section during the week of E3. That's big for us. That's going to help us get a lot of new listeners to subscribe to the show. Also, Stitcher are also going to be posting our content during the week of E3 front page of their app and website. So that's going to bring a lot of new listeners. Yes, sir.
And also, if you are a listener to the Man Cave Daily show, they will be cross-posting our coverage as well. So we'll be all over the place. So shout out to them.
All right. Before we talk about Fallout, we definitely got to mention this. Q, props to that great piece about GTR 10th anniversary. Yes.
Excellent.
I was going to say Pete. Q, how was that? How was the experience getting everybody involved? That was hard getting everybody, man.
It was a blast, man. I've been listening to Gamertag Radio for a while, so it's cool to get all the behind the scenes stories and kind of get everybody's perspective on the show and their view on it. And, you know, 10 years is a long time, so props, Danny. I mean, you know, I've known Danny for, 15 years?
Yeah.
I mean, we met in the SOHH.com.
Hip-hop website.
Hip-hop forums. Yeah. We used to talk hip-hop all the time. And that's kind of where I started my career covering video games. Mm-hmm. And, Danny helped me out when I was kind of starting out and starting out my video game coverage career. He was, like, writing reviews for me. They weren't that good.
Yeah, man, it's pretty bad. But yeah, go.
Danny is a terrible writer.
Yeah, I am. You know what? But you, my first game that I got to review was Advance Wars.
For Game Boy.
Game Boy Advance.
Game Boy Advance, yeah.
Yes, that was the first one, yeah.
But it was great talking to everybody. I wasn't able to get everything in. There's so much stuff you guys had that I wanted to put in there. I mean, me and Pete talked about DJing and, you know, me and Mandy talked about being a woman in video game podcasting. She told me a story about when you guys got Halo Reach. You and Danny, Pete, and Mandy, you guys were playing it all night. And, like, at 7 in the morning, Mandy and Pete died, but Danny was still alive, but he was at the end of the section of the game, and he fell asleep during the game.
Yes.
And Mandy and Pete are like, Danny, wake up.
Dude, I was so tired.
Wake up. Revive us, please.
You know what was good? I woke up, and my character was pointing up, like, the gun was pointing up in the sky, and I'm like, oh, my God. And then I hear Pete and Mandy calling me, "Hey, Godfrey, where are you, man? Come over here quick." Yeah, it was pretty fun.
It's stories like that I weren't able to include, but I hope you guys go, all your listeners go to GameCrate.com, read the story, get the behind the scenes
fantastic
stuff.
Piece. Yeah.
And if enough people read it, maybe I'll do a part two.
Yeah,
get some of that stuff I didn't include, because I didn't get to talk much about Community Vibes and the history there and the big shows. I didn't get to talk about how you combine gaming and hip hop and the hip hop interviews you've done and all types of stuff. So
cool.
Yeah, I hope you guys check it out.
Tell me one thing that you learned about us overall, like just one word while doing this.
Passion. I was also surprised that you almost quit a couple times.
Yeah. I really never talked about that. Yeah.
He puts in so much work that if he can't do it right, you know, sometimes he feels like he shouldn't do it at all. And that's only happened a couple times, but he's been at it for 10 years strong. So you got to give him props, man.
Thanks, man. All right, cool. Yeah. Mandy, very quick. I know you guys, Game Loft, you guys can have a couple games during E3. You want to mention it very quick before we talk about
real quick.
Very quick.
We'll keep it super short, guys. We're going to be launching a new game soon called Siegefall, which is an online multiplayer strategy game. Mm-hmm. It is quite interesting. I've had a lot of fun playing it so far, and I'll be showing it off to a lot of people. You guys can actually already see some gameplay and YouTube videos up on the interwebs, but keep an eye out because there will be more. And if you are into strategy or you just get easily entertained, then it's probably something you want to check out. Coming soon. Yay.
I'm so proud of Mandy.
We're all gonna start crying tears of like,
yeah. No crying.
We're not allowed. Hold on. Everybody's gonna cry except for Poston.
Oh yeah,
his heart is as cold as ice.
Yes.
All right, White Walker.
All right, Fallout 4, guys. Fallout 4. Impressions. What's up? Like the vibe. How was it?
Let me say this.
Yeah. Let me just say this. I said it before. I don't know if I said it on this podcast or another one, but I swear to God, I was at that thing. I threw my wallet, my PayPal, my Apple Pay, my Android Pay, and my piggy bank. I just threw all of it right at Pete Hines' head. I was
how many wallets were on the stage?
I don't even think you could see the screen. There was so many.
It must have been like a strip club. Everybody just throwing money at
you. Money, dude. I would say this.
Go ahead, Mandy. I'm sorry.
The moment that they announced what was coming with the collector's edition, was like we literally. I'm like they just bought themselves probably like a half million pre-orders of the collector's edition.
Yeah,
who doesn't want a Pip-Boy?
your smartphone.
Yeah, that you can actually have like an app that runs as a companion to the game and you can fit your phone in and it'll be like the real, like literally I'm just hearing wallets hitting people's screens.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. That was so, the one thing I was worried about, I was like, is this going to be like Witcher, open like Witcher. And once I got to see the presentation today, man, I think this is going to be even crazier than the Witcher, man, of the things that you could do besides going out there doing quests and missions and stuff, but also crafting and building your weapons and building your house, like your area.
That guy is the greatest salesman. He could sell ketchup to Heinz, I swear to God.
Yeah, he's
the man. He has got his job down on point.
If you look at it, what they were able to show of this settlement, like building and talking about how you can have, like, create multiple settlements and be running between them, like that by itself could probably be a standalone game.
Oh yeah.
So the fact that that's now integrated into an already large full scale, sure to be hundreds of hours, is just tells you how much they're putting into it. And it's kind of mind boggling because I can just imagine people saying, you know, I'm 500 hours in and I'm still not done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. I was thinking it's, and I think I said it on Twitter, it's like Minecraft and Fallout
combined.
Came together just for that one component. And that's just a small chunk of the actual game.
100% optional.
Yeah. You can get completely lost for hours. That's a game that I could probably let my kids play and be like, okay, let's go create a settlement and I'll come back and I'll just jump in and play.
You know what? I see myself playing that part for a long time.
I was just kind of amazed at the weapons. There's 50 weapons with 700 modifications.
That is insane.
That is like endless.
Yeah, insane.
I was like blown away by that. You saw the bat with the blade on the end there.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That was crazy.
The spinning circular saw.
Man, I don't know. I'm thinking, man, like this and The Witcher so far, it's like the most, I mean, we haven't seen the games are going to be announced for this week so far. But man, those two games are just, those two alone has been like one of the top for me so far.
Yeah.
But it might change my opinion later this week.
Well,
but
it's like I told Boston when we're walking back, in a crazy way, I almost wish it wasn't coming out this year.
Wait,
because there's so many
other things that I want to do that, just like with Witcher right now, when that game comes out, I'm going to put so many things off because I'm just going to focus on that. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to explore Boston. I'm going to want to do all the different crafting with weapons and just every little nuance of that game I'm going to want to try out. So it's just going to be a time sink, which, hey, look, as a gamer, that is a great thing.
It's
but
great value.
In what we do,
it's tough.
It's going to be tough. Well, like think of this. That game is sandwiched right between Halo 5 and Black Ops. And then even the week after that, Battlefront comes out.
Oh, my God.
And Tomb Raider's mixed in there somewhere, too. Just on that alone. And this isn't even counting things that we don't even know about.
Let me ask you this. Do you think November 10th, you think that was the right date for this game?
Yeah, because like I said, it's right between Call of Duty and... Or is it after Call of Duty? Am I wrong?
I think Call of Duty is the third.
Actually, Call of Duty is before.
Second Tuesday?
Call of Duty comes first. It's the week before Battlefront.
And
that's what it is.
Still, overall, there's so many games around that time. Like, I don't know how we're going to have time to actually sit down and...
You're not. You're going to have to make tough choices. That's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah.
The hard thing is, like, before, it's always been this focus on, you know, where are you putting your $60? So, like, what's worth your $60? And now it's so much more than just what's worth your money, as where do you want to put your time? Mm-hmm. Because these are no longer a game that you can play and complete in a weekend or a week or two. You know, these are games that you're going to be investing probably a couple months in, at least.
And sacrificing marriages.
Yeah. Two people here that have this all the time.
And that's another thing. We didn't even know about Destiny. Like, what they're going to be showing and releasing at the end of the year. Well, Paris, I feel bad for you and Pete. I don't know what you guys are going to do.
Agreed. I agree. Really, if you look at gaming right now, and this is just going on what we know. We have no idea what Microsoft and those guys are going to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
Witcher right now. Batman when we get back from E3, right?
Yeah.
Then September comes. We got Metal Gear 5. And then I'm just talking for me personally. You got Forza 6 coming. You got Rainbow 6 coming. You got an Assassin's Creed in there somewhere. You then got Halo 5.
Rare.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't know when or what that is. Then Fallout 4, then Battlefront. Just on that alone, how am I playing that? How am I playing those games? I'm not.
That's true.
I'm not. You have to make tough choices.
Yeah.
Or you have to have a stack of shame like me.
Yeah.
Fallout 4 will not be in that stack of shame, I will tell you right now. I liked your point about comparing it to The Witcher earlier in terms of maybe being even more in-depth and immersive. I think I'm a little biased because I love first-person shooters, but that first-person element of becoming the Vault Dweller, as opposed to playing an established character that has already rich history and fiction, that just opens up everything, because you literally are playing it how you want, when you want, male or female, deciding your path. Because again, you know, we're all going to have that moment. We're going to have the super emotional time in the vault. Something crazy is going to happen. 200 years go by.
No, you know he's not.
You never know. You never know.
Cold as ice.
I do love dogs. I'll say this right now. So
he's going to go, the dog is dead.
We need that playing in the background the whole time.
Let me ask you this. Like, you can't switch third person or first person.
Yeah. Sorry. Goodness. Yeah, but like for me, I think Fallout is a predominantly first person game. It just fits the vibe, the motive. You are supposed to emulate the character, become the character, and you know, having Troy Baker as a voice is going to be great. I don't know who they got to do the female one. I didn't hear enough of the dialogue from her point of view. That's cool, having the conversations. Like Todd Howard said, you can just walk away during conversation. You can shoot them in the face during the conversation. All of this stuff that's kind of going to start to break down these RPG mechanics that we've known for years. That impresses me. Stuff where, like, you know, at some point you're playing and you realize, wait, can I do this? Wait, I can do this? No other video game will let me do this before. Like, those are the kind of moments I live for in open world games. And, you know, I love the Fallout mythos, the universe, everything about it's fantastic. But when it showed the overview of that, of the Boston and the scale of that, wow.
Well,
like,
just even
crazy.
The intro with all of the concept art that they were kind of showing.
Right? I would frame every single one of those and put it on my wall.
Exactly.
Like, those are gorgeous.
You look at it and you're just like, you're kind of getting this idea of the scale of what they're doing. And it's kind of mind-blowing because we've spent so much time over, you know, the past probably 5 years being really focused on these singular, relatively short experiences. things like Witcher and Destiny and Fallout, a lot of the time were very specific markets of gamers. Mm-hmm. They weren't always as large scale and as mainstream as they are now. And yet they are now becoming the kind of definition of what it means to play a game, of what people are looking for in their experience, these gigantic, long-term, immersive games. Yeah, and it's kind of, it's mind-blowing.
Personal story, water cooler moments are personal stories that you're going to have that probably none of your friends are going to have. They're going to do something completely different, you know, because you both go out of the vault. One goes left, one goes right, one says, I'm going to turn around and go this way. And you're going to have completely different stories, adventures. I mean, you're literally just going to find probably, if anything like the past series or like The Witcher, you're just literally going to find something every 10 feet and you'd be like, nope, got to step, see what this is. Main story, save the world, don't care. I have got to go search in that trash can to see if I can find any cool stuff to make cool weapons with. That was the best part. All that useless junk you used to collect for no reason other than burning you in past games now has a crafting purpose.
And let's talk about the theory, too, because we talked about this last week with Pete.
The theory. Yes.
Okay, let's talk about first the part that you were wrong.
Okay. All right. So my original theory was, all right, so in the Fallout ethos, the day that the nuclear bombs explode and ruin the Earth is October
23rd, 2077.
There was a rumor, which has now been, you know, found untrue.
Disproved.
And the game actually launches November 10th, 2015. So, you know,
it was a good call, though.
I hit 50%.
Yeah, yeah.
I went 1 for 2. But the one that actually did come true was in the trailer for the teaser that they initially dropped last week. You see, you know, the video going back and forth, you know, present time and going back. What we learned is that when the nuclear bombs go off and destroy Boston, the main character, which is the father of the baby that you see in the trailer, actually does survive, but is pulled into the vault and brought back to life 277 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that little portion of it, I felt vindicated. I was like, he is the father. Call Maury.
You are the father.
But I like that part, depending who you choose, and like your character, the male and female. That's where you would create your baby.
Yeah, seamless. You know, not have to worry about like sliders, bars, stats. You just, I'm going to pull here, that. Tuck here.
You can make the you name the baby.
Yeah. And then say the name. Like they recorded thousands of names of dialogue.
There's so many different names. Yeah. You choose which ones you
and
want.
None of them are Paris.
I can't remember how many names.
They said that they had like 1,000 that were options,
yeah.
I believe.
Crap. Crazy.
That's dope.
I have to wonder, like, did they, like, just throw names into a hat and say, like, if you have an idea, or did they, like, go buy a baby name book?
Probably
or
a baby
like
name
that?
Book. What are the most popular names?
He said they picked the most popular names and threw them in the game.
Okay. Now, what about the dog, man? Paris.
Dog, man.
Okay.
Let's talk about this dog. They're killing that dog. I just want you to know.
that dog,
by the end of the story, will be dead.
Why are they... Why? Okay, there's Fable. They've done that with past games. Why are they doing that?
It's emotional attachment. I mean,
and manipulation at that.
Yeah, it's the thing is they want you to have this companion. They want you to get attached to it. You know, this is your friend. This is your buddy. They're helping you through tough times. You know,
it's like my buddy and me. You know, where
everybody can relate to that pet that they had either through their youth or currently now. Like, you know, I've got
or
you
the
know,
pet
our
they
two dogs.
Wanted.
Yeah,
you I want. Manny's got her too. Paris has got Duke. Everybody can relate to that pet that they've had.
Yeah, that's
true. The only thing I will say that kind of threw me off, and I'm not sure if this changes when you actually play the game, is that like you walk up to it and it's marked dog, and you're like, all right, you can come along with me. And you don't name it.
Yeah, and it immediately follows your commands. So you're like, go there. He's like, all right, get that wrench.
So,
okay.
It was kind of funny because, you know, you're like, okay, is there going to be any kind of dissonance going on here with me just randomly picking up this strange dog wandering around? Yeah. And B, I feel like you would get much more emotionally attached to it if you could name it.
Yeah.
So maybe later on you'll get the chance. They'll be like, oh, name your pet. But
I like to think it happens immediately, like a harvest moon moment. Like, you got a dog. Name it. And they're just like, nah, dog's fine. Let's just not worry about it.
Well, I want to talk about, because we're going to attend a couple of press conferences on Monday. Your theories, what do you think is going to happen? Which one you think is going to be the most powerful press conference so far? I mean, it might change our opinion. Hey, what's up with this, man? Everybody's looking at me all weird. I'm serious. Like,
no, he's looking
at me
weird.
I'm doing deep thinking. I got to think.
All right, so look.
Viva Pinata.
I have a feeling that Microsoft press conference is going to be pretty big.
That's a shocker.
Paris. No, the reason why is because I follow Aaron Greenberg. I follow Aaron Greenberg and a couple people on Twitter, and I feel like Aaron Greenberg and Mage and everybody, they are like really, really excited for their press conference. I've never seen them this excited ever.
No, I all joking aside, I 100% agree with you because, dude, they're sitting on something. Because they're getting out in front of a lot of the known stuff, getting a lot of information out there already, to the point where it's like, if you're telling us and showing us all this, you want all the fans, like that whole fan fest thing they're doing, you want them to get hands on with all your games. They're sitting on something that we just obviously don't know about yet that they're going to announce tomorrow.
It's going to be like a bombshell. Do you guys think it's just going to be Gears of War 4?
No.
It can't be.
Matter of fact, Gears of War, whatever Gears of War 4 is going to be, they're not even going to announce that until FanFest. They're not doing that at the press briefing.
Oh, okay.
And you know what's crazy? That they have so many games, they're so confident that they took some of their games for Gamescom.
Yeah, Crackdown,
Quantum Break,
and Scalebound.
Those were system sellers when they showed those, and they're holding those from E3. Like, dude, what could they have under wraps?
They're confident. I'm telling you, they got something. So I mean, I know they have the indie support and everything, but I mean, a AAA, like, what is it? We don't know yet. You know?
What I would like to see on Xbox again is Jade Empire.
Right.
Did anybody play that?
That's not going to happen, though.
Arguably, BioWare's best written game. The story was phenomenal.
I don't see that.
I think that there's a lot of games that we'd all love to see, but unfortunately, their quality versus how well they would do with the market is kind of mixed. Mm-hmm. And it's not because we don't like it, and it's not because we don't think, you know, there's nostalgia or people are like, oh, this was so good, but it's just like, that's maybe not what's going to sell.
I understand what you're saying, but I think the Jade Empire universe was so fresh because most people don't know diddly squat about Chinese mythology. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fascinating. That world could be expanded. I agree. I don't think they could just make, you know, a KOTOR Jade Empire clone and think it's successful. They would have to retool it like they did Dragon Age 3. They have to find some common middle ground between the hardcore and getting new people to come in and try something different. But I think Jade Empire is still a very effective universe. Like, you would see that in action and be like, wow, what is that? I need to know more about that game. It's beautiful and colorful and vibrant and, you know, full of, you know, crazy mythological deities. And in my opinion, it had the best good and evil decisions in a BioWare game. Like, you actually felt more evil than a Sith Lord in Jade Empire. It was crazy. It's a great game.
Pete, you're still thinking.
I have no clue. I mean, from Microsoft.
Okay, let's go to another press conference. Yes. EA.
Well, Gears Edge. They've already kind of got the big guns.
I'm sticking to playable Mirror's Edge.
Oh, yeah, man, come on.
I think Mass Effect. It's a big one.
3 still burn me. I'd have to play 4, and it'd be something completely different.
Well, remember really? Mass Effect, possibly. I think this is going to be a new trilogy, maybe. You know, like,
yeah,
this is
totally different. As long as it's a brand new, their universe is fascinating. Yeah. I love their universe. So they could either do like a throwback to the human conflict with what is
the Turians?
Turians, thank you. I can't think of that for some reason. The human Turian conflict. Because that was a great piece of history they never really cover, other than it was really, really bad and we got over it and made friends. They could do that, or they could just say, hey, what's a post Reaper free universe like, you know, and have the playable races from every spectrum, not just human. There's so much they could do with that. But I just think they have to like reinvent the wheel, because if it plays like Mass Effect, I'm just going to have that part of my brain being like, I've already done this. Mm-hmm. I want something different, because that universe is great. Because to me, it's kind of like, you know, if they only made one style of Star Wars game, I'm like, you have an amazing universe. Why are you still only making one style of Star Wars game? But Star Wars understands that, and they make many types of games to cater to their universe. I hope Mass Effect would think about doing the same.
Okay. Do you think they're going to have any surprises? I feel like all the games that EA are going to talk about, we already know about. Do you think they'll have any surprises?
I don't know. I think so.
I wish Dead Space would come back. That would look amazing in next gen, but it has to be a horror game, not a co-op action shooter.
Oh, EA. Man.
Miss Cleo.
Yeah, any prediction, Miss Cleo?
Go ahead, Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo can confirm or deny anything he might have seen at EA. So, no, I have nothing to say.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Like, my thing with it is I feel like there's so many games that kind of fit into that Mass Effect mentality of there's this outstanding large, expansive universe to work in with any of the developers, not just specifically EA. Mm-hmm. And it's just waiting for these companies to do something with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the hard part, because there's a lot of franchises right now that people are either burnt out on, or they're like, you know, what do you do next? Like kind of Mass Effect, you know, do we want them to make a 4 that's a direct sequel, or do we, you know, we'd much rather see them do something else with that. And it's kind of hard to make guesses, because at the same time you want new IPs and you want to see these great new universes be created, but you equally see the value of something like these established universes where so many things are possible.
Paris?
I'll just simply say this. I was invited to EA. I got to play a brand new IP. I've not told you guys what it is. I'm not saying anything. By the time the people hear this, it'll probably have been announced. I will simply say it is not something you will expect from EA.
Okay.
I like that,
Paris. See?
That gets me interested. Stuff like that, hearing things
That's
like
how
that.
You do it. You get to see stuff, no leaks. I'll probably, no leaks. Man.
Dude, Big please hug. No leaks. It'll be passed by like the time this happens, but companies, please don't leak like 30 minutes before your press conference, please.
Okay.
All right, so let's cover the last one before we go. Ubisoft.
And there's Sony. Two more. And wow, Sony. You just...
Wow, you're like...
Sony.
He's sitting over here wearing an emerald suit. Look at
Oh my God.
But I'm wearing the Sony band now.
All right, yeah, no, but for real. Like,
but not
Ubisoft.
For Pete.
I mean, we're attending the press conference, Pete.
Yes.
I know we're excited for Rainbow Six. Mm-hmm. The Division.
Watch Dogs 2.
I'm not excited. If they do, I'm like, whatever. I mean...
It's a joke, but I don't know.
Well, there was a rumor that they might be working on Zombie U for the next gen consoles.
Yeah, I read that. That's a fun game, but is it still Zombie U without the pad? Because that's what kind of made it unique and different. Otherwise, it's
true.
There was that
accidental link. Was it the LinkedIn article a couple of months back where the guy mentioned that he was working on, you know, one of the projects he was working on was Watch Dogs 2. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is a Watch Dogs 2 announcement, or maybe a teaser, but I don't know if they're going to have something playable this soon. I mean, maybe
2016.
Yeah, so maybe an announcement.
Maybe like a quick, coming,
you know, coming, you know, coming 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
I would probably say, because it's their casual market moneymaker. You know, there's going to be something wacky with rabbits going somewhere.
Yeah, that's kind of a waste.
Well, I know Q is excited for the new Just Dance game that, you know, they release every year. So he's excited.
He'll dance on stage for a t-shirt.
You know what's crazy? We were there at the press conference. Flo Rida was there performing for Just Dance. Remember that?
Flo Rida was there. That was funny.
Yo,
yeah.
I was booing the whole time. Like, oh, come on, man. Why you have Flo Rida? I have somebody else.
Yeah. But do you guys have franchise fatigue around Assassin's Creed yet?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
I guess like the one thing we've also discussed too with it is that they've been pretty solid on trying to stick to certain geographic regions. And so I don't know, like, I guess kind of we discussed that it's hard sometimes because you look at it and you're just like, you know, how interesting is this part of history for me? Mm-hmm. And with what they've done so far, for me, the one that stuck out the most was obviously, you know, pirates and being in the Caribbean and everything. And to go back, to go back to Europe, and even with the time change, it's just kind of like I would much rather see them try and take that style of gameplay and how they craft stories and turn it into something maybe like with the Far East or just something that's much more.
I can see that.
Well, this goes back to what Possum mentioned earlier with the Jade Empire thing. They kind of lightly touched on it with the platformer version of Assassin's Creed.
That.
But
yeah.
Did it work?
The Chronicles?
Yeah,
free. I think it was well done. I think the problem is they're hitting those eras that that have been covered throughout time.
Saturated.
And throughout history that everybody already knows. Give me those. Give me the Spanish Inquisition type situation. Give me a, you know, feudal Japan, or give me, you know, the a Japanese versus a Chinese
thing.
I mean, even like you could go into, there's just so many options, I think, in history across so much of the world.
Aboriginal Australia.
There you go.
Aboriginal Australia. You know, you could go into like the nomads and the Mongols through kind of the far Asia to Russia kind of stuff. Yeah. Regarding me and that sort of thing. And so it's just not frustrating, but a little tiring when you see kind of these areas of history that we're already relatively familiar with and we've seen done before so many times. And I look at it and just like, you know, I'm not sure I'm ready to buy another.
Yeah. Like the Incas or Mayans with like Spanish Inquisition type, you know, like galleons coming in. And it's just, it's a melding of different cultures, and I think that might play better as opposed to hitting the ones that everybody already knows and are familiar with, as opposed to, you know.
That's the problem. I think they're relying too much on focus groups and playing it safe is like, oh, people know Victorian London, people know Revolutionary France, you know, Revolutionary America. These are all well-established periods of history, so people feel like that they can somewhat connect and enjoy the environment. That's great, but, you know, I have to think back to the first time I played Assassin's Creed 1, and I realized I could ride on horseback from Jerusalem to Acre, and I was like, this is incredible. Like, this is next gen, like, for a 360 game. I was blown away. And then going into 2 with its version of Italy and Venice and Florence, it was mind-blowing, and it reminded me how good Assassin's Creed could be if it uses it right and it does something unique and isn't just like, you know, let's go here, do this because people feel comfortable this time period. Like Pete was saying, there's so many opportunities to go all over the world throughout time to make things work, and they're just still relying on, you know.
But you know what, Possum, I have to say this, and I noticed that what, like, Fallout 4, also The Witcher, and now Assassin's Creed, those games are just single-player campaign games. They're not depending on multiplayer.
It's so nice to see.
I like that. I like that companies are taking that risk, because the majority of people, they just buy games that have multiplayer. So I'm glad that they removed the multiplayer part of Assassin's Creed. Yeah, I liked the concept. It was fun and cool.
It just didn't work very well.
That too. But once it was, like, once we were done playing that, I didn't really want to go back to play it.
Missions you played once. Like, that was fun. And you don't
I'm done. But I had a blast playing. Yeah, even though it was buggy, I had a blast playing the single player game. You know, so I'm happy that they're taking that risk.
I know what I want for E3. Let me just throw it right there. Yeah. I want a new Tenchu game. And I want it like Z, where it's 4-player cooperative online, because that game is amazingly fun and everyone slept on it. But new Tenchu stealth co-op assassinations needs to happen.
Paris, you've been kind of quiet. What do you have to say about our conversation?
I have nothing to say. No. I agree a lot with what Paulson's saying. I mean, it's just, to me, I look at the Dishonored series, and that's what I want Assassin's Creed to be.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, you're right.
They're doing it better than they are.
I mean, I don't know. It's like, and obviously we'll find out more here, you know, with the press conference and into E3 about the new Assassin's Creed game. It has potential, but they burned us so bad with the previous one, I'm really just on a wait and see. I'm the same as I am with Call of Duty. I am with Assassin's Creed and a couple other longtime franchises. It wouldn't hurt for it to take a break. It really wouldn't. But they won't.
It's a business, man.
It's business money. And it makes money. Yeah. So they won't.
But to be fair, I think after watching the Bethesda press conference and seeing Fallout 4, you see, I mean, to use it as the most recent example, you see what kind of games can be made in when they're given such long development.
Yeah, like, can you imagine Assassin's Creed had a 5-year development cycle and it looked like Fallout 4? You'd be going, oh my God, I want that.
And it's not that we necessarily need them to be these really long ones, but it's just that idea of every year is not just franchise fatigue, but then you look at it and you say, like, besides changing the time frame, you know, changing the location, the setup, what else are you really doing here? Mm-hmm. You know, why is this so much more distinctive than last year that I should spend my money again?
All right, well, very quick, because we got to wrap it up in a few minutes. Sony.
Does anybody know what Sony's doing?
It's a big enigma, and I love it. I love that it hasn't leaked yet.
I'm excited, but nervous at the same time.
I don't think they'll bomb it.
They admitted that they don't have much first-party.
They're going to show a lot of 2016 stuff that people are going to be excited. Oh, best press conference ever. I know that's going to happen. I know that. Yeah, you know.
They're going to show more of Uncharted 4, of course.
It's fine. Yeah, you know, on stage demo would be nice. I'd like to see more Final Fantasy 15 in motion. They can show more Kingdom Hearts 3. I mean, they have a lot of things they could pull out.
Are they going to show Last Guardian?
That's the rumor.
We were talking about that. People who me and Paris were sitting with at Bethesda, they were pretty serious about thinking that Last Guardian would be the final thing announced at the Sony press conference.
You know, if they do show that, that crowd is going to go nuts.
Oh, my God. Well, people have been waiting for it.
Do you think that's going to be enough? For the, well, to save the press conference,
it's too
to say
niche.
No.
It won't sell, but you know, it'll be declared a new art form, like Last of Us was. Everybody will, you know, lavish it with praise, and it'll be a really fun game. But it is not going to sell $400 PS4s to the average consumer.
My thing with it is, and I could be completely wrong, is yes, they fully admitted we don't have much, but that doesn't mean they'll have nothing. So. Isn't there the possibility that they can just pull something out of the hat people are unprepared for?
Oh, I know what they're going to show. Powers, they're going to show Guerrilla Games new IP. Because they're coming off Killzone Shadowfall, and that was a fantastic game. So they're going to probably
the thing
show
with PlayStation is it's not 2015 for them. It's just keep it steady. Keep it steady. Get to Nathan Drake in 2016. Get to Ratchet and Clank in 2016. Then things like the Guerrilla game is going to come out. If look, I'm doing air quotes. The Last Guardian may come out, and they're going to have other new IPs.
That's been alive for a long time.
Whatever Sony Santa Monica is working on.
Depending on a lot of the third parties, which is also going to help them out too.
For 2015. That's my point. Yeah. Sony's in a position right now where they don't need to wow us with new IPs. They just need to let us know that going into 2016 and beyond, we got great games coming for you. Because let's be real here. They've already sold so many pieces of hardware. Even if Microsoft wins the holiday in 2015, they're going to be fine.
Well, and,
they really are.
I think that's the thing. Is ultimately, like, I look and say, if I'm buying a third-party title, I'm choosing between my PC and my PS4. So
yeah,
whether they have first party or not at this point is it needs to come. They can't neglect it, but I'm not sure that it's a make or break at this point.
Here's my worry though for Sony, just overall beyond 2015, just into the future, Project Morpheus. I worry that they're relying too much on it. In the same sense, going back a few years, that Microsoft relied too much on Kinect. It's the same scenario. The same scenario where Sony relied way too much on PlayStation Move, which that's another rumor. Supposedly, Move 2.0 is coming out for Project Morpheus.
And here's the thing. I remember when Sony was promoting 3D a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Like, this is the next thing, big thing for gaming.
Well,
where's 3D? You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see more from them. Like, I love the PlayStation Vita. Great device. Didn't have that many games. I feel that it might be the same thing for the Morpheus. I think so, man.
I just had a thought.
What? Oh,
what if Ken Levine walked out on stage holding up a Vita going, I finally did it, y'all.
Oh, my God. It's going to be a very interesting week. Like, I'm excited, you know, not only because it's our 10th anniversary, but just overall, we're here together for the first time as the whole crew. And I feel like this year is going to be... The focus is all about community, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm excited, man. So we're going to wrap it up. So guys, head over to gamertagradio.com and also play.it. And make sure to share our E3 content with your friends. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify if you have the iOS beta version. Give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Pete, cbsla.com/E3 2015.
Correct.
Make sure check out all our live updates behind the scenes and everything during E3, man. Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
Just look for more coverage all week.
Hell yeah, man.
Video games.
Quick appointments. Which one are you excited for this week? The ones that you could talk about.
I can't talk about it.
Okay. Pete.
Ditto.
All right.
Wow, y'all.
I'm excited for EA stuff.
I want to play Battlefront.
Yeah,
Battlefront. I want to see what all the hype's about.
Yeah, that's it. All right, Mandy, thanks for joining again. It feels good to be
come in and argue for a bit.
Yeah, and Q?
Yeah, thanks for having me. And check out GameCrate.com. And,
plug it.
And just keep on listening to Gamertag Radio. They have a rich, rich history, and hopefully they'll continue to make some.
Thanks, man. All right, guys. Until tomorrow, you're going to see a lot of content coming up, so make sure to tune in and subscribe. All right, we're out. Peace.
See ya.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.